Amen. As I've already said, Brother Wido, it's been a blessing yesterday. And Brother Wido, again, pastor of Bible Baptist Church in El Dorado, Arkansas. Brother Wido, you come on.
Amen. Thank you, preacher. All right. If you have your Bibles tonight, turn to Isaiah chapter number 5. Isaiah chapter number 5. There was an old preacher over in Dallas years ago. His name was Dr. Leonard Barnes. And old Brother Barnes, he'd say, open your Bibles to the book of Isaiah. Amen. And I don't know, I never did get that R in there, but we love Brother Barnes. He is an old-timer. And let me sing for you our little song. And I don't know about this apple, man. Normally these things, they turn brown. And this one still doesn't look that bad. I don't know what the deal is. It may be on steroids or something. But somebody said, what'd you do to that apple? I didn't do anything to it. We just bought it at the store and I ate it, okay? The little song I learned in 1966 when I was a little boy in Sunday school goes like this. If God gave you 10 apples and said, return to me 1/10 of these 10 apples to show you honor me. If you ate all the apples and left but 1 core, would you give God that 1 core and then ask Him for more? Don't give God the core. Don't give God the core. Show Him that you love Him. Don't give God the core. Don't give God the core. Don't give God the core. Show Him that you love Him. Don't give God the core. Well, if it wasn't for God, I wouldn't have any apples, and I sure don't want to give Him my leftovers. Amen. He's not interested in our leftovers. He's interested in the first fruits of our increase. Say this with me. The tithe is the Lord's. Good. Let's say it again. The tithe is the Lord's. Amen. And I'll tell you what a blessing it is to learn the joy of giving and then to give offerings. And the faith promise offering is a voluntary offering, a free will offering. Nobody makes me give to missions. I give because I choose to. I give because I love the Lord and I want to help reach the world that Jesus died for, okay? And keep things very, very simple. We started on Sunday morning and just talking about who it was that gave the Great Commission and how it was the Lord. And I didn't give the Great Commission and your pastor didn't give it and the church didn't give it. It was given to the church, amen? But God gave the commission. God gave the command to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And He wouldn't have said it if it couldn't be done, okay? And it can be done through our missionaries. And we can't get the gospel to every creature without them, and they can't get to the mission field without us. So we team up together, amen? And it takes this right here, money, to get missionaries to the distant lands. And I want to tell you something. As we give to missions, what a blessing to have fruit that abounds to our account, okay, in the bank of heaven. We thank You for the presentation tonight there in Russia and the reindeer people. Amen. What a blessing. And I know y'all are going to reach some of those folks for the Lord. And what a great blessing that is. And we thank the Lord for that. You know, in thinking and doing these missions conferences, I always find it kind of hard to get people that are carnal to make a spiritual decision. And so we just do some preaching that would kind of help us to get our hearts right with Jesus. And you know, when we're right with the Lord, this thing of giving to missions, it's really not a problem. But you know, when we're all full of ourselves, the full soul loatheth and honeycomb, okay? If I'm all full of me, then I don't have any room for God. Amen? We need to empty ourselves of self so that God can fill us with His Spirit, okay? And the Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. And grieving the Holy Spirit is when we just allow known sin in our lives and we leave it unconfessed. And even secret sins and unknown sins. Man, I want to be clean. I want to be right in the sight of God. And I don't want to grieve the Spirit of God. I don't want to quench the Spirit of God. And quenching the Holy Spirit is simply when we hinder the operation and effectiveness of the Holy Spirit's working. And I don't want to do that. Are y'all listening to me? Hey, we pour water on fire to quench that fire, to hinder the operation and effectiveness of that fire. We put water on, okay? Water quenches our thirst. It hinders the operation and effectiveness of that thirst. And I don't want to do anything, Pastor, that would hinder the operation. I mean, I want God to be able to work through me and through our church and to get the job done. Amen. We're living in the last days and time is of essence. Those people over there, they're dying. The Navajos are dying. The Mexicans are dying. I mean, all over the world, people are dying. Just, you know, I've been in this funeral mode here for the last several weeks. And I mean, I've done a bunch of funerals all up and down the span of life. And I'm just saying that, hey, we need to get busy about our Father's business. And I want to walk in the Spirit, okay? And I want to be under the control and power of the Holy Spirit of God and let Him order my behavior, okay? And Jesus Christ came and died for the sins of the world. And He didn't have any sins of His own. Amen. He was sinless. And He's the Son of God and God the Son. And I'm just thankful that, hey, He wants us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And I'm in on it. Amen. I'm in on it. I am in on it. Okay? And I'm not asking you to do something or be involved in something that I'm not involved in myself. Okay? And one of the greatest joys of my life is when we give to missions each week. And we do that systematically and on purpose. And we just give what the Lord lays on our heart. Isaiah chapter number 5 tonight. If you have your Bibles there, Isaiah chapter number 5. And we're going to look at the parable of Jehovah's Vineyard here for a few moments tonight. When I was a little boy, I enjoyed hearing my grandfathers, both of them, tell stories. They had a lot of fishing stories and hunting stories, and I was just kind of spellbound as a little boy and would just listen to them tell me those stories. I was named after both my grandfathers. One of them's name was Joe, and the other one's name was Dalton, and they just always called me J.D. They just kind of split it down the middle. And I'm very proud to be named after both of my grandfathers. But in Isaiah chapter number 5, we have the parable of Jehovah's Vineyard. And a parable is an earthly story that conveys a heavenly meaning. And it's just an illustration, okay, if you would please. And I want to just kind of give you some things tonight here get right to the message, okay? And I want to preach to you for a few moments tonight on this subject, on wild grapes in the Lord's vineyard. Wild grapes in the Lord's vineyard. Last night we kind of talked about sins on the inside, and tonight we're going to talk about sins on the outside a little bit. And I want you to look in Isaiah chapter number 5 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved, touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill." Let's bow our heads and we'll pray. Father, we love You now, and I pray tonight, Lord, that You would come along and, Lord, thank You for the presentation there, Lord, to Russia. And I pray You'd bless this dear family. And God, help them to be able to get there soon. And Lord, thank You for what our eyes have seen, what our hearts have felt. And Lord, thank You for the good song tonight, "So Send I You." And Lord, I'm glad that we can go on Your behalf, Lord, and that You've sent us, Lord, into all the world. And God, tonight I ask You just to arrest us now. And I pray that folks would listen. Thank You for those that have put forth the effort to be here tonight, and bless those who are unable to come. And God, we ask You now to have Your will and way in this service, and we'll thank You and love You for what You're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The missionary's wife, Miss Reisner, is it Michelle? Miss Michelle, wave at me there, Miss Michelle. She shared with me yesterday. She said, "Brother Wido, you came to the Bible college there to Heartland where I was in Bible college." And she said, "I was a little bit discouraged and kind of struggling, kind of thinking about maybe leaving." And she said, "The message that you preached that day, God spoke to your heart, spoke to my heart through you." And you know, you just never know how far reaching one message is. And she said, "I stayed in school and I finished." Isn't that a blessing? You know, one message, one truth from the Word of God could change your life forever. And I'm not here tonight to waste your time or to waste my time. This is God's business, and it's the most important business in all the world. Amen? And so I hope you'll listen on purpose tonight. And thank you, Miss Michelle, for telling me. I would have never known that, but I'm glad. Hey, it's encouraging as a preacher and a pastor to know that God is using the Word of God to accomplish what it sets forth. And we know that, but it's encouraging to hear it. Amen? Now, God's care for His vineyard. And again, He says, "Now will I sing to my well-beloved the song of my beloved touching His vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill." You know, God desires us to be fruitful, okay? And He said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." And what a blessing it is to follow the Lord and allow Him to make us a fisher of men. And, you know, I was out in California this year. I'd never preached in California and had the privilege to go out there and preached for Pastor Treber and Pastor Chapel there. And we went through Selma, California, and Danuba, California. We preached our way across California and had a good time there in the Lord. But, you know, I had never been around so many orchards. And, man, and dairy farms, by the way. I'm a dairy farmer. Y'all remember that. There's my milk and muscle. We showed y'all that last night. But anyway, we saw all these orchards. And boy, those orchards, man, they were ship-shaped. You could just look down those rows and you could just tell they were manicured. And somebody had gone to great lengths to care for those orchards. Are y'all listening to me? Well, hey, God, Jehovah's vineyard here that we're talking about, it said, my well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. I'm glad that God prunes us. Are you listening to me? Hey, sometimes it might hurt a little bit, but even in our lives, we get dead limbs on us that are good for nothing. They're just a weight. They're a hindrance to us. And thank God that God loves us and He comes by and He'll snip off some. Hey, that's what Missions Conference is all about. Getting the stuff out of our life. Getting the rubbish out of our lives. Are you listening to me? So we can hear that still small voice of God. God not only prunes, but He also protects. He also protects. We do a little bit of deer hunting there in South Arkansas. And in Hampton, Arkansas, there's an orchard there. It's called Suzanne's. And they have orchards there. That man there has an electric fence around his a part of his orchard. And he tries to put the electric fence around the orchard to keep the deer out. You know, he's trying to protect His orchard, okay? And I'm glad that we have a God that not only prunes, but hey, He gives His angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways. You know why? God protects us. He wants us to be fruitful. Are y'all listening to me? He not only prunes and protects, but God also provides. Be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. I heard a preacher say one time, God will put His angels on half rations to feed a soul winner. Hey, I want to be a soul winner for Jesus every day. Amen. What a great song that we sang tonight. God's care for His vineyard. Number two, God's concern for His vineyard. Look at verse number two in your Bible. The Bible says, and He fenced it. We're thinking about tonight this church building here maybe being Jehovah's vineyard. And we're just kind of let us, you know, we're in the vineyard tonight. And again, it says, and He fenced it. Now, we put a fence around our yard to keep our children in, maybe to keep a pit bull or a Rottweiler or some bad dog outside. Are y'all listening to me? I mean, that fence is there because of protection again. And you know, when I think about a fence, you know, God doesn't have these boundaries because He doesn't love us. He has boundaries because He does love us. Young people, you teenagers that are here, hey, your parents don't have boundaries because they don't love you. They have boundaries because they do love you. Does that make sense? And listen, God's commandments are not grievous. They're really not. Man, what a blessing. We love Him. And if you love me, keep my commandments. And I just want to fall in line and do what He wants me to do and understand that He's trying to protect. It says, and He fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof. Now, I think a stone thereof in the vineyard would be anything in the vineyard that would be a hindrance. And I'm here this week preaching, and I just think that individually that we ought to say, you know, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me, you know, and lead me in the way everlasting. I don't want anything in my life. If I've got some stone in my life, some hindrance in my life that's keeping me from being fruitful, I want to remove that and get it out of my life so that I can be fruitful. Amen. I want to please God with my life, and I've got one brief opportunity here on planet Earth, and I want to give God my human best filled with His Spirit. I mean, that's my gift back to God in light of all that He's done for me. It says, and He fenced it and gathered out the stones there. Now, what do you have in your life that shouldn't be there? What do you have in your life that's a hindrance, that's keeping you from being all that God wants you to be? It says, and He planted it with the choicest vine. Well, I'm glad I'm saved tonight. Hey, I'm glad that, hey, I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth, who has set Thy glory above the heavens. Hey, what a blessing. When you got saved, you took on that name that's above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow, and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Hey, we've been planted with the choicest vine. I'm one of God's children. Hey, I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I'm not going to hell no more. Man, what a blessing. Amen. What a blessing to be planted with the choicest vine. Man, God just is like He thought of everything, isn't it? Planted it with the choicest vine and built the tower in the midst of it. Now, I could get out there on a chair and stand up in a chair in the middle of the auditorium tonight, the sanctuary tonight, and I could represent that tower in the midst. You say, what do you think that represents? Hey, thank God. God gives us a pastor. And He's right there in the middle of the vineyard, and He's kind of overseeing, and He's watching out for the vineyard. Isn't that a blessing? Hey, thank God. God planted a tower in the midst of it. Hey, thank God for Jesus Christ is the chief shepherd, but the pastor is the under shepherd. And you know, sometimes, you know, you're looking, pastor's watching, and God gives the pastor discernment to know how to make decisions and so forth. Obey them to have the rule over you and submit. Why? They watch for your souls. Hey, he's got to give an account. He wants to do it with joy and not with grief. Amen. That's why we preach the devil out of everybody, so you'll get a good, you'll be good little sheep. Amen. Good little grapes. It says, and also made a wine press therein. He made a wine press therein. And now I want you to kind of look up here. I'm just going to kind of let this represent a grape. If we're going to be Jehovah's vineyard, and you know, I want God, if I'm going to be one of His grapes, I just want God to take my life and squeeze me. And, you know, wine press, I want God to get everything out of me that He possibly can. I don't want to get to heaven and find out that I could have did this and could have, you know, but I just didn't yield myself to Him. I just want Him to get everything out of my life that He possibly can. It says there He built the wine press therein. Now watch this. The Bible says, and He looked that it should bring forth grapes. And it brought forth wild grapes. Now, I told Pastor that by the end of the week, we're going to have a fruit salad up here. We've got apples, and I've got a grape here, a cluster of grapes, and wow, these are Texas grapes. You can see how big they are. And, you know, it should have been, in light of all that Jehovah had done in His vineyard, it should have been that He could go to His vineyard and pick a grape, just any grape. I'm trying to pick a grape, there it comes, at random, just any grape, and that would be a good grape, a sweet grape. But you know, if you read your Bible here, the Bible says in verse number 2, it says, and He looked and it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. You say, Pastor, what's the difference in a wild grape? You know, a wild grape, we call them like maybe a Mustang grape. I mean, they're real tart. They're not sweet to the taste like these grapes are, like good grapes are. Y'all know what I'm talking about? They grow out in the wild, and they've got a bite to them. They really do. And the Bible says here in verse number 3, now inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. Look at verse number 4. The Lord asked a question here, and He says, what could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? I'm thinking as I look back down the list, it says, He fenced it and He gathered out the stones thereof and He planted it with the choicest vine and He built the tower in the midst of it and made a wine press there. I mean, God, it's like You've done everything, Lord. I mean, this man wore the roses straight and everything ship shape and Lord, you're a good caretaker. Man, God's been good in my life. Are y'all listening to me? Man, I'll tell you something. Hey, the problem is not on God's end. If there's a problem, the problem is on our end. Are you listening to me? Hey, I would love to stand before God and God say, son, you did read your Bible. You did pray. You did tithe and you brought your missions offered. Son, I'm proud of you. You were a soul winner. You had a desire to see people saved and, you know, just to do the basic things of the Christian life and make the Lord proud. I mean, that would be good to get that kind of report. But God went to His vineyard to pick the grape and He got a wild grape and He asked the question, what could I have done more? What could have been done more to my vineyard than I've done in it? And look what it says here. Then I have done it. Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. Wow. It's unbelievable, isn't it? God kind of shows His complaint to His vineyard. And I'm just saying tonight, hey, God, it's not your fault. The problem's not on your end. It's on our end. Now, everybody listen to me again. This is a parable. It's an earthly story that conveys a heavenly meaning. And I'm going to tell you a story that I'm not proud of, but it illustrates the message tonight. Okay? Are y'all okay? And then we'll kind of bring it in for a landing. When I was 11 years of age, my mom and dad were attending Bible college at the old Bible Baptist Seminary in Arlington, Texas. And my dad had surrendered to preach down at the Helmer Street Baptist Church in Houston, Texas. And Brother John Duckett was my dad's pastor. And of course, my dad was led to the Lord by Dr. Claude Bonham there in San Antonio, Texas. And so anyway, my dad surrendered to preach in 1969 and we moved up to Arlington. I'm just a little redheaded boy. And 9 years old, and then 10, and then 11. And my dad and mom both are in Bible college at the same time. And I'm going to an elementary school in Arlington, Texas, Roark Elementary. And my dad's very, very busy. It's a very busy time in my dad's life. He's getting up. He has to be in class at 7 o'clock in the morning, and he goes till noon, and then he gets, you know, grabs a sandwich and goes on to work. And he didn't get in until like 11 o'clock at night after his work. And so we kids really didn't see my dad a lot during that time. My dad let me and my brother Bob get a paper route. And we got a paper route. We were throwing the Dallas Times Herald years ago. And I had my little paper route. My brother Bob, he's 5 years older than I am, and he had his paper route. And we were throwing these papers. And we had apartment complexes and some residential, some houses that we threw papers in. And again, I got to running around. We were having family devotions, and my mom was working also. I mean, they're just trying to make ends meet, you know. And we were having family devotions and doing everything that Christians do. And my dad's senior year in Bible college, he started a church in our home with 17 people. And at 2405 West Stonegate, we were about three houses down from Ferguson Junior High School. But I got to running around with the wrong crowd at school. I was running around with a bunch of little hoodlums, a bunch of little thugs, a bunch of little punks. And my brother and I, we were struggling. And I'm sure my mom and dad knew that, but, you know, we began to steal some things. And I'm not proud of this, but I was 11 years old, and we started stealing Coke bottles off of people's carports. Empty Coke bottles. Y'all remember the Cokes that had the fizz in them? You could turn them in for a nickel. How many of y'all remember that? God bless you. I see those hands. Anyway, you know, they had real good fizz in them. And it's a wonder we didn't get shot. It really is. It's a wonder somebody didn't shoot us. But we'd run up there and grab those Cokes and run and jump in the car. My brother had his driver's license, and he drove a 57 Chevrolet. And we would grab those Cokes and head off. And anyway, we started stealing Oasis water jugs. You could at that time get about $2.50 for one of them. You cash it in for a deposit. People would set them out on their carports or in their garage to return them, and then we would snag them. One night we stole some fishing poles, and one night we stole a tackle box and toolbox, and one night we stole a fire extinguisher. We drove around squirting cars. We thought we were really, really, and again, Saturday night in the wee hours, we were throwing those big old Dallas papers, those big Sunday papers, and this house was dark, and nobody, no lights were on, and we saw a water jug, and so I'm running up there to get this water jug, and there's a little elderly lady across the street, and I don't know what she was doing up at that ungodly hour, but she was up, and she wrote down the license plate number on that 57 Chevrolet. And, you know, we eased in, it down. My brother would kill the motor, and we kind of coast in because we were coming in later, and we'd slip in through the sliding back glass doors, and our bedroom had to be cleaned on Sunday mornings because we used it for a Sunday school class. And that morning when we got in, my dad was up, and my dad was waiting on us, and my dad was not a happy camper. I told you yesterday my dad was a state trooper. My dad grew up on the farm. My dad was old school, and my dad was mad. And my dad said this. We walked in the door. My dad said, "Come on, boys, we're going to the police station." And I'm telling you, I saw my life flash before me several times over the next few hours. We got down to the police station, and they separated me and my brother. I'm 11 years old. I'm a juvenile. My brother's 16 years old. And this guy by the name of Detective Race, he had a flat-top haircut. I'd seen him down at the boys' club jumping ropes. And man, this guy was, he had muscles on top of muscles. The veins in his neck would, like, pop out. You know, I mean, this guy was like, and he got all fired up, and he started interrogating me and asking me all these questions. Well, I got scared, and I didn't know what my brother was coming. So I think, man, I'm just telling him everything. He wanted to know everything I had ever stolen. And I just said, man, I think I stole some bubble gum when I was in my baby bed. I mean, man, I was like, you know, when you get scared, you know, you start dreaming of things you thought you might have stole, you know. And so, man, I told him everything. And I started crying, and he wanted to know why I was crying. And I told him, I said, I've got some packs of cigarettes hid under a temporary building at the Ferguson Junior High. And in my 11-year-old mind, I'd heard preachers preach against that all my life, and I knew my dad was going to kill me. It wasn't that big a deal to that police officer in light of all the other stuff that we'd stolen. We had a bunch of stuff hidden in our garage. We had a garage you could hide an elephant in. We had some stuff hid. And you know, we had to take all that stuff back and apologize to the people and all this stuff. But after they raked us over the coals and all that, it was our first offense, and we got back in the car. And, man, I was more scared of my dad than I was the police. And I just knew my dad was going to kill us. And preacher, when we got home that morning, my mom was there. And my mom was up and she was waiting on us and my mom was sitting in a chair. And I had never seen my mom cry like I was watching her cry that day. And I didn't like it. It kind of really rocked my boat as a little boy because I love my mom. But my dad said, "You boys have broken your mom's heart." And my mom thought we were good boys. I mean, it just devastated her. She had no idea that we were doing all this stuff. And my mom was like, "What did I do wrong?" I mean, it wasn't like we were bad boys. My mom was like trying to assume the responsibility, like, you know, where did we go wrong? What did we do wrong? And I'm like, "Mom, it's not your fault. You're a good mom. You've been there for us and done everything for us." The problem wasn't on my mama's end. The problem was on our end. Are you listening to me? And I knelt down there by my mama, and I'm just a little 11-year-old boy, but I couldn't take my mama crying like that. And I said, "Mom, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry." And again, you know, my mama didn't push me away and say, "Get out of here. You're not my little boy no more." But when my mama saw that I was really sorry, my mama hugged me and she forgave me. I'm going to tell you something. I'm glad that we have a God. When he goes and he looks for a grape and he gets a wild grape, I'm glad the Bible says that, hey, a broken and a contrite heart the Lord will not despise. And I found in my life that, hey, when I'll come to God and I'll say, "God, I'm so sorry. Lord, I'm sorry that I've allowed this baggage. I've allowed this junk in my life. And Lord, I don't, you know," and when I get honest with God and humble myself before God, God doesn't push me away either. He loves me and reassures me of His love. Are y'all listening to me? Now the church here has experienced the blessings of God. Are you listening to me? Man, God's been good. The young man, his grandpa's back here, walked the aisle Sunday, got saved. Wasn't that a blessing? Man, that blessed my heart. Grandpa was crying. The boy was, you know, just a blessing. That's just good stuff. No matter who you are, that's just blessed. If you got a thumping gizzard, that'll bless your thumping gizzard. Amen. And I'm just telling you, the church here has known the blessings of God and people getting saved and baptized, and the Lord's been here. His presence has been here. But Pastor, I wonder how many wild grapes it would take at the Heritage Baptist Church in Haslett, Texas. I wonder how many wild grapes it would take for the Lord to say, "You know, they've taken me for granted. Man, I'm thinking, whatever's happening here, as the missionary stated, it ain't like this everywhere. There are a lot of churches that are dry, and you know, you visit around a little bit, there's a lot of churches that it's just not like it is here. There's some churches the Lord seems like they just got a little touch of God on their church. I don't want God to write Ichabod over the back door of my church and the glory of God to depart and people not get saved or baptized or young men not be called to preach the gospel. Man, that'd be hard to try to pastor a church like that. And all I'm saying is that, hey, Lord, I'm in on this mission stuff. And I want to remove the stones. And Lord, I thank you for the fence. And I thank you for planting it with the choicest vine. And Lord, I thank you for all that you've done. And I want to get the stuff out of my life that would be a hindrance. And cause, I don't want to be a part of grieving you or quenching you. I want to walk in the Spirit. Are y'all listening to me? Look on down here. And God shows His get to verse number 5. God cautions His vineyard. He says, "And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. And I will lay it waste, and it shall not be pruned nor digged. But there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it." For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel and the men of Judah, his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold oppression, for righteousness, but behold a cry. Man, I said it yesterday, if I have the blessings of God on my life, I have everything. But if God lifts His hand of blessing off of me and curses me, then I have nothing. I'll tell you one more story. In closing, just an illustration. Years ago, I was preaching a revival meeting in Temple, Texas, at the Twin Cities Baptist Church there. And every year, they used to have a camp meeting, and Brother Lester Roloff and Billy Kelly and LaVon Boatner, a bunch of those camp meeting guys, would come in and preach, and had some great services there. They had an outdoor tabernacle and a lot of good times there. Pastor Doyle Lawson was the pastor there, and I'd been there several times. He was friends with my dad, and we would go down there. And my sister married one of the Lawson's sons, Steve, and so we were close with their family, and there were seven children. And on a Wednesday night, Brother Lawson was having a little tightness in his chest, and song service was going on. He told the music director to sing a couple songs, and he went out and sat down on the tailgate, let the tailgate down on his pickup truck, and he sat down to kind of get a little fresh air. And well, he never came back in. And they sang three or four songs, and somebody said, "Go check on preacher." And they went back, and he had kind of fell over back in the pickup bed of the truck there, and went home to be with the Lord. He died. I went down to his funeral, and his youngest son, Matthew, was 10 years old. No, he was 13 years old. And Matthew was kind of the apple of his daddy's eye. He kind of came on a little bit later in years, and he was the baby boy. And old Matthew would play his trumpet in church during the music, you know. The congregational singing, Matthew would play that trumpet. And boy, his daddy was very proud of him. But when Brother Lawson died, Matthew kind of misinterpreted what the Lord allowed to happen. And as a boy, he got bitter at God, and he blamed God. Didn't understand why God took his dad. And Matthew rebelled, and just him and his mom at home. And 10 years had gone by, and I'm preaching this revival. And on the last night of the revival meeting, we preached on bitterness and gave the invitation. My brother-in-law and sister were in the service that night. They were living in Temple at that time. And I watched my brother-in-law walk around the outside aisle and back to the center aisle, and he tried to get his little brother to come to the altar. And Matthew was a big cowboy, and about 6'3", made a big man, and a goatee and cowboy hat and cowboy boots. And Matthew shook his head no, and I watched my brother-in-law come on down to the altar and pray. And Matthew walked out, and my heart kind of sank. I thought, well, he ticked him off. He made him mad. And he walked out the doors and was kind of gone for just a moment or two. And then the doors opened back up and Matthew started. And I thought he was going to stop at the pew there, but he didn't stop. He kept on coming down to the altar. And I stepped off the altar, and I'd known him since he was a little old boy. And I stepped down there, and he just kind of threw his arms around me and hugged me, gave me a big old bear hug, and he was crying. He just was saying, you know, I didn't understand when my daddy died. I didn't understand. And he just pouring his heart out. And it was a smaller church. And man, everybody, I mean, there wasn't a dry in the whole house because everybody knew that Matthew was struggling. His brother, I motioned for his brother, and his brother came down. Those two brothers gave bear hugs, and they're crying. And then I motioned for his mama to come down. His mama came down. She towered over his little old mama. And I know she had shed many a tear over him. But Matthew got his heart right with Jesus. He is a wild grape in the Lord's vineyard. But he came to God with a broken and a contrite heart. And he wept his way back to Jesus. I don't know about you, but I just want to be a good grape. If we don't reach the world, God, it's not your fault. The problem's not on your end, God. Hey, you've done everything. If there's a problem, it's on our end. And I don't know about you, but I just want to be right so I can hear that still small voice of God. And when God impresses upon my heart what He wants me to give, I can hear Him. If I regard iniquity in my heart, hey, listen, we just paralyze the whole operation when we've got a lot of sin and baggage in our lives, whether it's on the inside or on the outside. So tonight, let's remove the stones and get the junk out of our life. Thank you for listening. Let's bow our heads. If you're here tonight and you're lost, you've never been saved, listen, We'd invite you to come tonight and be saved by the grace of God, just like that young man did yesterday. I wonder how many say, "Preacher, I tell you, I got some stuff in my life. I know that I need to get some junk out of my life. I've got some baggage. I've got some stuff that I know it's a hindrance. And I want you to pray for me." Would you, Christians, would you lift your hand and say, "Preacher, would you pray for me? I've got some stuff that I know." God bless you, and you, and you, and you, and you. Are there others? Just lift your hand up. God bless you, young person. What about you other teenagers? Some of you teenagers, you've been treating your mama like a dog. Listen, that's not right. You need to love your mom and treat her right. Any other teenagers, lift your hand and say, "Preacher, I've got some stuff in there. My attitude's been stinking." God bless you, young man, and you, young lady. Are there others? Say, "Preacher, would you pray for me? I've been struggling. I've been kind of got bogged down in my Christian life." God bless you, young lady, and God bless you, young lady. I see your hands. God bless you, young man. Thank you. Well, thank God for the teenagers raising their hands. It's not just the teenagers, though. It's us old fogies, amen. It's us adults. We got to get our house in order. Yes, we do. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Father, we love you. Everyone standing. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. And Lord, I just want to be right with you. The old song says, "Have thine affections been nailed to the cross? Is thy heart right with God? Countest thou all things for Jesus but loss? Is thy heart right with God?" And Lord, I know that we're in a missions conference, and I know that you have a heart to reach the world, but Lord, we also understand that, Lord, it's human nature for we as your children to wander. All we like sheep have gone astray. And Lord, it's so easy for us to turn to our own ways and be going through life in carnality and controlled by the flesh and not led by the Spirit. And God, tonight we just want to be good grapes. And Lord, you've seen the hands. And maybe some teenagers need to go to their parents and say, "Mom, I'm sorry. Dad, I haven't been, my attitude hasn't been right." Maybe somebody just needs to get something right or pray for someone. Lord, I don't know what the need is, but God, I know you know. And God, we just want to come clean tonight, Lord. And Lord, as we come clean, we know that it'll please you. And God, we just want to be right. We don't want to be a hindrance. We want to be a help. We don't want to be a pain, Lord. We want to be a blessing. Lord, bless now the invitation. Have your will and way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.